to The Drew Marshall Show, Canada's most listened to spiritual talkback program.
Well, a little while ago, I was introduced to this gentleman through the Cameron family, I guess. Kirk Cameron is a buddy of this fella, and they do ministry together. And Candace, I think Candace was really the first one to tell me all about Ray Comfort. And we had a discussion with Ray a little while back about open-air preaching, you know, getting up on the soapbox in the public and talking about God stuff. And, you know, and I'm still not a big fan of that, but Ray still does that, and that's fine, that's fine. But I still kind of, there's something about this guy I like, you know. If he was a complete moron, it'd be easier to write the whole thing off. But he's a good guy, he's a Kiwi, you know. You can't fault the Kiwis for much. Well, you can, actually. Joining us live is Ray Comfort. Hi, Ray. How you doing, mate?
I'm doing good, thanks, Drew. Nice to talk to you.
What did I catch in the middle of? What are you doing?
Open-air preaching. I'm waiting to get up on my box, but you come first.
Oh, stop it. You are not.
Yes, I'm in Huntington Beach, sitting in a car while my buddies are waiting for me to get up and preach.
Really? Seriously?
Yeah. Seriously.
Oh, yeah, it's Saturday. You do that on Saturday, because that was the day I came down to see you do your thing. You were up in the box. Okay. All right. Well, folks, Ray is our Drugal guest today. And if you don't know what Drugal means, go to our website, drewmarshall.ca. It's basically, I'm in a crisis of faith scenario right now, and this is my search for God. And I'm interviewing a whole bunch of people, theologians, entertainment people, I mean, just a whole wide range of people. And I was sitting here going, oh, man, do I ask Ray? Do I ask Ray? Because I know he's the answer man, you know, and what am I afraid of here? Why don't I want to get Ray? Well, I'm going to get Ray on. Ray, I'm not convinced there's a God.
Okay, well, I got to tell you, so I'm going to confess something on here right now. Are you ready?
Yes.
I have my doubts, too. Let me tell you about them.
Okay.
I've been living in my house for 15 years. Now, it's a beautifully made house, but I've been doubting if there was a builder. It's got walls, it's got windows, it's got roof, it's got air conditioning, it's got an intricate electrical system. But all these years I've been secretly doubting if there was a builder, but I'm going to come out and say it outright. I really don't believe there was a builder. What would you think of my mental capacity? You think I'm a little bit insane to say that. And yet, that's to say a building built itself is a scientific impossibility. That cannot happen. And to say creation created itself is a scientific impossibility. Creation is 100% scientific proof there is a creator. That's how we know God exists, and that's exactly what the Bible says. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. That's why there's no such thing as an atheist. When I meet someone who says he's an atheist, all I do is say to him, so you believe nothing created everything, a scientific impossibility? And he'll say, well, I don't believe nothing created everything. So you believe something created everything. It just wasn't God. And you'll say, yeah, that's it. Also, well, you're not an atheist. You're agnostic. You just don't know what created everything. And let's see why you don't want it to be God. And all you do is go through the commandments and see that it's his knowledge that is ultimately responsible to God morally that keeps him from saying that it's God that created everything. And Drew, our churches are filled with people who have been convinced intellectually about God, but they've never been converted experientially by God. And so when someone comes along with what they perceive as an intellectual argument, their faith is shaken, and so it should be, because they're not saved. They're false converts that sit among the body of Christ. The goats among the sheep, the foolish virgins among the wise, the tares among the wheat, the bad fish among the good, and they'll be sorted out on Judgment Day. But this is such an important issue, and it just comes back to people not hearing the biblical gospel.
Okay, so I think what I just heard is you called me a goat.
Yeah, I called you a goat. I called you someone who doesn't know God. You just know about him. And I'm saying,
well, then how do you apologetics aside, which is a weird thing to say to an apologetics guru, how do you know him? And you say you know him by reading his word. But
No,
you don't. Okay.
No, I wasn't converted by the Bible. Early Christians weren't converted by the Bible. There was no printing press. They couldn't read. The New Testament hadn't been compiled. The gospel wasn't even in written form. They were converted by the power of a message. And that's what happened to me. I was converted by the power of the gospel. I was made a new creature instantly, overnight, new heart, new desires, born again. First time I was born, it was radical. I didn't exist, and then suddenly I did. Second time I was born again, it was just as radical. And then I opened the Bible, and the Bible explained to me what I had already experienced. The Bible is an instruction book for Christians. It's not an apologetic book to convince people. It's not a scientific book to convince people intellectually. It's about how God has given everlasting life to humanity.
Okay, so hold on. Let me just interject here for a second. First of all, when it comes to the world of science and the origins of the universe, or even the eschatological viewpoints of many doctrines or theologians out there, I don't give a holy grunt about either side, because until it happens, there are going to always be a number of theories in how the way the world is going to end, all right? I asked Tim LaHaye one time, how do you feel that your view has now been, of the end times, has now been taken as the only view? And he said, well, it is the only view. So I was kind of blown away by that one. And then back to the origins, like, listen, I wasn't there when it happened, and I know that there are smarter people than even Ray Comfort who land on many different sides of that argument. I can enter myself into one of those or all of those arguments, have a look around, but man, it still does not satisfy the yearning I have for the love, interactive love of a father. And I think we were born and created for that, and that's our maybe just my yearning to eventually get to heaven, I guess. I don't know, but the way I've been relating this crisis of faith is not through apologetics, understanding or misunderstanding. It has to do with we are created relational beings, we read a relational Bible, and yet there is a chasm of non-relation going on between God and us.
Right. Well, I didn't think apologetics is the issue, because that's dealing with the intellect. I'm not talking about that.
Right.
Drew, I have been a Christian for 40 years, and there hasn't been one moment in those 40 years where I've doubted God, either his existence or his love or his faithfulness. Not one instant.
Okay, so you've been given the spiritual gift of faith.
No, it's not a gift of faith. Let me tell you this. I have been married to my wife for 40 years, and there hasn't been one minute when I've doubted her faithfulness or her love. If I did, it would be an insult to her integrity. It would be not to believe her. It would be to consider her to be a whore. I would never do that to my wife. She is faithful. She loves me. I wouldn't doubt that. And exactly the same applies with God. If I doubt God's, I wouldn't doubt God's existence because of creation. That's crazy. It's a form of insanity, atheism. Isaac Newton said it's senseless. So I don't doubt God's existence because of creation. And I don't doubt his faithfulness or his love, because to do so is to insult him. The Bible says, let none of you depart from the living God through an evil heart of unbelief. He that believes not God has made him a liar. You can't have any human relationship.
But hold on. If you're going to have a God, and then the manual says, if you don't believe in this God, then you're screwed. That, you know, as an outsider, if you are...
No, you missed what I was saying, Drew.
What?
When I talk about believing, I'm talking about trust. My marriage is based on trust.
But it's based on trust because of a track record.
Let me finish because this is important. My marriage is based on trust.
Mine's not important, so you go ahead.
It's true. I've got no concerns about whether my wife exists or not. She does. My marriage is based on faith or trust in her, and that's the basis of Christianity. Either you trust God or you deem him untrustworthy. Either you think he's faithful or he's unfaithful. He's not worth trusting. He's devious. And unbelief is what the Bible calls sin. It's to call God a liar. And that's why the Bible says, he that comes to God must first believe that he exists, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So if you come to God, come trusting him. Don't doubt his integrity. That's an insult to him.
Okay, so what I'm hearing you say is, Drew, just believe, because if you don't believe, that's a sin.
No. I'm saying that you've got to back up even further, and there's a root cause of this problem. And the problem is that you've probably never seen sin in its true light. Now, let me back up a little further. The only evidence you have of God's love for you should be the cross. The New Testament always correlates God's love with the cross. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and gave his son to be a propitiation for our sins. God commended his love towards us, all yet sinners. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. So if you want to know how much God loves you, go to the moral law, the Ten Commandments, specifically lay it out in the Sermon on the Mount, and realize that every time you've lusted, you've committed adultery in your heart in God's eyes. If you hate someone, you're a murderer. When you go through those commandments and personalize them, you will see that if God gave you justice and did that which is right and good, he should damn you in hell. But he commended his love toward you, and that while you were yet a sinner, Christ died for you. So if you see your sin in its true light, you'll get a glimpse of God's love, and once you experience the conversion, the new birth, then you'll never doubt his love because it's there experientially and in the written word of the Bible.
Okay, so a question I ask all of the Drugal guests is, have you ever encountered God?
Yes, absolutely.
Tell me about the top one.
What do you mean, top one?
The best one, the one that stands out the most. This is where there's no question this was God interacting in my life.
Absolutely. It's called conversion. It's when I confessed and forsook my sins. It's when I came to know the Lord. This is eternal life. They might know you, the only true God. This is square one.
Have you had anyone since then?
Had any what?
An encounter with God.
I've had a 40-year encounter with God. I know the Lord in the same way I know my wife. That's what you're lacking, Drew, and it's because you've never seen your sin in its true light, found a place of biblical repentance. You've never been regenerated by the Holy Spirit so you can say, I know and believe and persuade it.
Okay, so again, what I'm hearing you say is things are going wonky for you there, mate, because you haven't seen the doctrinal, theological understanding of ray of comfort, way of the master, way of thinking, and because you haven't done this, man, you're missing it.
No. Look, here's the essence, Drew. I'm going to ask you a question now. Think before you answer.
Got it.
Are you ready?
Yep.
Do you know the Lord?
I don't know.
Well, you're not a Christian if you don't, and if you don't know, you obviously don't.
Okay.
This is more serious than a heart attack.
So I'm not a Christian.
That a boy. That's it. Just come to that realization. You don't know the Lord.
So 30 years it's been a game. I'm not a Christian.
Well, that's between you and God. But
no, you're telling me I'm not a Christian because I answered your question in the way I answered it.
Well, listen to this. I'm going to give you Luke 9:62. Whoever puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom. You're getting ready to chuck eternal life, okay? And that makes me doubt your salvation, and you need to examine yourself and see if you're in the faith. This is the answer to your dilemma. I'm going to the root cause. I'm not going to the symptoms. I'm saying you've got to go back to square one, look at your sinfulness in God's eyes through the commandments. This is what Kirk Cameron did about 10 years ago. He went through the Ten Commandments and personalized them and realized that he had lusted for women and committed adultery in the heart. You know, have you ever blasphemed God's name, Drew?
Oh, I'm sure I have. I can't remember at this particular
okay.
point. No, don't go through the whole
I'm not
going to
go through the whole thing, but I'm just trying to give you a little glimpse of how sinful our nature is.
Yeah, so so what I'm asking for at this particular point in time, because I'm in a crisis of faith, or so I thought, it turns out and I'm not saying this facetiously, I'm just saying what you said. It turns out I'm probably not a Christian, is what you said.
Probably would be a better thing to say.
Okay, probably, I'm probably not a Christian. What I'm asking for is an encounter from God, an encounter with God, a supernatural, not a dog and pony show and heal this or fix that or show up, but something that I can't justify or rationalize. Please, God, Father, where are you? I want to have an all-loving, all-knowing, omniscient, omnipresent Heavenly Father that gives a rip about my life, and I'd like to know that, and I'd love an encounter for Christmas, please. Was that a good thing I should ask or no?
Absolutely, but you come on his terms. Don't come clicking your fingers. You've got to realize you're a criminal standing before the judge of the universe.
Right, what are my terms? How am I terming it?
You don't say, God, I want you to do this.
No, I just said I'd like an encounter with you. Is that bad?
Yeah, it is bad. Want to come in repentance to God and say, God, I'm a sinner. I need your mercy. I need your forgiveness.
I've done that.
Okay, now, that's the first thing.
So am I a Christian now?
No, not unless you've been born again, regenerated, and you can say, I know the Lord. If you don't know the Lord, then you're not a Christian. Remember, this is eternal life, that they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, your Savior.
So, buddy there, what the heck's his name? Gideon got to do the sheep fleece thing, and Thomas got to do the nail hole finger thing, but I'm not allowed to say I'd like an encounter with you.
They were both pre-Pentecost. They were both before the new birth was offered to humanity.
Oh.
Remember that. You're talking Old Testament and just after resurrection. So you come under the sound of the gospel. Do you see yourself as a wicked sinner, Drew? Are you worthy of going to hell?
Yes.
Okay. That's square one. So come to God on his terms and say, God, forgive me, I'm a sinner. Look at the commandments and then put your faith in Jesus Christ entirely and never doubt his word. Do you doubt your wife's love for you?
No, but I'm glad you brought that up because I know, as opposed to Jesus, I know that my wife, or God, I know my wife will never leave me or forsake me. I've got more faith in her than I do God.
Okay, well, that shows how you haven't seen God. You don't fear God.
Right.
You've got a real.
You're right.
Got a real life.
And how do I know this? How did I come to this conclusion? I came to this conclusion because of a relational track record. She's had plenty of opportunity and reason to leave me, and she hasn't.
Right. But you had to marry her first, and that's what's lacking between you and God.
No, I did that, buddy. I did 30 years ago. I went, okay, let's get on the Jesus train. Woo-hoo!
That's not what I'm talking about, the Jesus train. Hey, listen, I've got a free book that can help people, and it's called God Has a Wonderful Plan for Your Life, The Myth of the Modern Message. And it's got a picture of Stephen being stoned to death on the front. And it's what made Kurt read that book when he saw God Has a Wonderful Plan for Your Life and a picture of Stephen being stoned to death on the front that made him pick up the book. And he realized that he, too, probably wasn't even a Christian, even though he had named the name of Christ. It never departed from iniquity, which means the violation of God's law.
So are we allowed to doubt?
Oh, of course you can doubt. Don't doubt God's faithfulness. You know, I've been through times of trials. And you wonder what God is doing. You wonder why you're
alive. I mean doubt the existence of God.
That would be crazy, senseless, a form of insanity. When you're looking at creation, it's like being in a building
Lord
and
help,
doubting there was a builder.
Lord, I believe, help my disbelief.
Well, it's more just common sense. I don't know if it's disbelief. It's just common sense. Now, if there's a painting, there's got to be a painter. If there's a builder,
I was quoting scripture there.
Yeah, I know. That was pre-Pentecost, remember, before the Holy Spirit was given.
Right.
When you're regenerated, Drew, you can have absolute assurance. The gospel came in power, the Holy Spirit, much assurance. Do you read your Bible daily?
No.
That's your problem. You're malnourished also.
Okay.
So if you read the Bible daily, you'll be as a tree planted by rivers of water. You'll bring forth fruit in season. Your leaf won't wither, and whatever you do will prosper, according to Psalm 1. Drew, can I give a website? It's for a free book. I'm not selling anything.
Knock yourself out.
Can I?
Yeah, I said knock yourself out.
Okay, it's cool. The website is freewonderfulbook.com. Freewonderfulbook.com. And that's the book, God Has a Wonderful Plan for Your Life, with Stephen Mann Stone on the front. And it would really help you, Drew. I'd love to send you a copy. And you know, before, when a doctor's talking to a patient, he knows he's sick. He's got to confront the sickness before he can give them a cure. And that's all I've tried to do with you. I know it sounds offensive when I talk about examining yourself to see if you're in the faith. But that's a Bible verse, because multitudes are going to wait till the day of judgment and cry out, Lord, Lord, we did this, we did that. And he'll say, depart from me, you work of iniquity. I never knew you. So knowing God is square one. And then from there, you build your Christian wall.
Ray?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Thanks for having me on your program.
Take care, mate.
Bye-bye.
All right, we're out of time, folks. Thanks for tuning in. You have been listening to The Drew Marshall Show. That was our final segment of today, and that was our Drugal guest, Christian apologetics guru from Way of the Master, Ray Comfort, giving us a piece of advice. Folks, my last live show will be next week. I'm not too sure about 2011, but next week is my last live show. And we're going to try to load it with all sorts of interesting people to talk about this crisis of faith that I'm in the middle of right now. And then you'll hear no more of this Drugal stuff. We will be finished with it. And who knows what will happen next year. I certainly don't. So on behalf of Tim the Tool, and who will be here next week, along with me, our last live show next week, and then one more with Melinda Esther Brooks, and then a pre-recorded Christmas thing. Folks, I am heading over to Israel for a month. So who knows what's going to happen over there. Oh, my goodness. I could just imagine God and all this going, oh, really? Oh, really? Oh, you'd like an encounter with me? Okay, get your butt over to my hood, and I'll give you an encounter. I don't know. I'm hoping, but I'm going to be real. I'm actually kind of scared that nothing's going to happen, and I went all the way to his house. Folks, thanks for tuning in. If you missed any of today's show, you can go to our website, drewmarshall.ca, and we'll have everything loaded by the end of the week. And do me a favor, will you? If you're new to the country, get the heck out of the left lane.
You're listening to The Drew Marshall Show, Canada's most listened to spiritual talkback program.